Welcome to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
I want to welcome you to the program today. My name is Milton Beecham, and I am privileged to be able to be the minister at the congregation in Yucaipa at the Church of Christ, and we certainly hope you'll come and see us at some point. It would be wonderful to see you. The title of this lesson is My Father. And Jesus made an important statement in John chapter 10 in verses 17 and 18 that I'd like us to consider first. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down, on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. And that's exactly how Jesus Christ referred to Almighty God as his Father. In John 10:25, we're given, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. You know, it's important for us all to understand that our God, Almighty God, is Father to us all. And this comes to us as the Apostle Paul was inspired to write about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, when he wrote, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. By relating to our physical fathers, we can better picture God as our Father. And the Hebrew writer brings this to our attention in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? On the day set aside to recognize fathers and their contributions to their families, we will consider some of what the Word of God gives us on this important topic. First, let's talk about fatherhood coming from God. From the beginning of man's creation, God gave Adam fatherhood. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where the creation of man has been summarized, starting with verse 26 and 27, in verse 28, he teaches for them to go forth, to be fruitful and to multiply. When Noah exited the ark with his wife, their sons, and their wives, God told them, be fruitful and multiply. And of course, we can understand how absolutely imperative that was, because all of the rest of human creation, with the exception of those eight that exited the ark, all of them were gone. All of them had died in that incredible cataclysmic flood. And it's interesting to note how the world started over in very much the same way as we might think originally the creation came forth through Adam and then, of course, Eve. But later, after this destruction occurred, brought on by this flood, then these eight people had to repopulate the earth. It's amazing to just think about. Along the way, God gave fathers great instruction to those who would distinguish themselves as loving fathers to their children. For example, fathers are to consider their children a heritage or a gift, and they are to be happy or blessed. The man who has his quiver full of them. And this magnificent insight comes to us from Psalms 127, verses 3 and 5. Also, we're taught, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Proverbs 22, verse 6. We're also taught in the book of Psalms, a father has compassion on his children. That's Psalms chapter 103, verse 13. And we're taught a son honors his father in Malachi 1, 6. Fatherhood came from God. God designed it for man. He put everything in place for that to be the case. And even thinking back to Adam, remember he had two sons that he was blessed with. And then he had a third. And these stand out in our mind as the population of the earth grows. Of course, he had Cain, then he had Abel, then he had Seth. How wonderful was that? Yes, it was sad and tragic when Abel was killed by his brother Cain. But Seth took the place of Abel. And oh, he distinguished himself, and likewise his descendants distinguished themselves on down through the generations as being righteous people. In the New Testament, God's instruction to fathers, though, continues. And two passages that truly stand out in our minds. One of them is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where we're taught, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonishment of the Lord. Now, admonishment means warning, that a father is to warn his children against those things that could be harmful to them. But that training is so absolutely incredible and vital. I think about it with regard to my own children and the training that went on for them from the youngest of their existence forward, and how they distinguish themselves today as parents with good marriages who are raising their children, our grandchildren. And it is wonderful to have part in that, to at least assist and to encourage. What a beautiful joy. And then, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Obviously, a father who wishes to distinguish himself as a loving father is going to do everything he can not to discourage his child, but to encourage that child to become the best that they can be. And then ultimately, when they do leave home, then they'll be able to stand on their own two feet. They'll be able to be gainfully employed and support themselves, and great things will happen in their lives. It's the hope of all of us as fathers in raising our children. We want the very best for our children. Becoming a great father to our children in these challenging times is very, very difficult. In fact, so many households in this country do not have both father and mother. And this has caused many problems in the lives of children. According to the census that was taken in 2016, 23% of the households in the United States of America have a mother only raising the children. And statistical studies have certainly shown that a child that is raised without a father, there are many things they miss out on. There are many things that are not a part of their instruction as they grow up, or the influence or the example set before them that they need so they can be the person they need to be, a complete person. And we understand how difficult that is on mothers who must raise their children without their husbands. Very, very difficult, to say the least. Yet as we've seen in today's study, fathers are to train their children. Now, they're to train their children, not just expect their children to learn and go on their own. No, 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 no. Fathers, train your child. Remember, we're taught that in Proverbs 22:6 in the Old Testament and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 in the New Testament. It is that important. Please, I want to emphasize, train your children so they will know what is right. Believe me. If something is important to you, even if it's a reoccurring theme that you're driving home to your children as you train them, then it will become something important to them. They'll set a premium on it, as you do. They're going to learn from your example. They're going to learn from watching you. So please remember how vitally important that is. And don't ever think they're not watching. Dad, they're watching you. They're watching you. They want to see what you're doing. They want to see where you're going. How many of us remember that song, Cats in the Cradle, by Harry Chapin? You know, he said that that song, which actually came from a poem that his wife gave him, He said that song scared him when he first read through it and he saw it. Of course, I'm sure it resonated within him that he'd have to make it into a song. But that one scared him because he wanted to make sure that he had a relationship with his children when they were old enough to make their decisions and left home, that they would still want to come back and they'd still want to see him and share, of course, their children with him. Fathers, we need to train our children. And fathers, we need to be happy with our children. And we need to count them as both a heritage and a gift from God. I said to my wife the other day, this is our heritage, referencing our grandchildren, that we're blessed to be able to be with and share our lives with. Such a blessing, such a gift. And we realize that as we look in their eyes, as we see the way they live their lives, as we hear the things they talk about. All of this is magnificent, wonderful joy from God. And that's exactly the way He designed that family relationship to be, fathers. So step up and be counted as a loving father who will train his children to know the right way and to follow the right way and who will live the right way out before his children. No, we stumble, we fall. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. But we can never allow that to keep us from doing the best that we possibly can. We can never allow that to keep us from deliberately living out the scriptures in our lives. You know, Jesus constantly acknowledged his Father, who would never leave him alone. And he made that point very clear. This is recorded in John chapter 8, verse 29. And it's so important, please read it with me. John 8:29. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And didn't Jesus constantly recognize his Father's involvement in his life, in his ministry? Didn't he constantly give credit to his Father for the things that he said as well as the things which he did? Of course. And that point will be made most strongly when you look in the book of John, because he incessantly refers to his Father, our Father, he being the first to present that concept unashamedly and boldly before the Jews, who believed he had blasphemed by saying that. They wouldn't allow themselves to say that about Almighty God. But here was the Son of God standing before them and doing so freely as we need to do ourselves. You know, we all have thoughts of our fathers. We remember specific times and places and events that stand out in our minds. Some of us, our fathers and mothers, have moved on. They're no longer living. And yet we hold such treasured, cherished memories of these from days gone by. If your mother and your father are living, give them an extra hug. Tell them that you love them. Please make sure they know that. Look them right in the eyes as you say that. And then, of course, do the same with your own children. Dads, be the best dad that you possibly can so that your children can look up to you, so that you can make memories, so these can be things they can store in their minds and yet learn from, as maybe one day they will raise their own children, things that will help them grow into the person that you want them to become. You know, I remember a few things that stand out in my mind about my father. My father had to go TDY for the Air Force down to Panama, and he was there from part of 1964 through the summer of 1966. And so I missed him through the formative years. When he got back, he was reassigned by the Air Force, and he had to go to another Air Force base. But there are things that I remember, as I know you'll be thinking about things that you remember, things that stand out in your mind and that you hold dear and precious. Among these were fishing. I remember one Christmas we got brand new fishing poles. And oh, I was proud to get it. Also a tackle box, you know, so pole and tackle box. I remember seeing those under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. And of course it wouldn't be long after that that we would actually go out and go fishing. I also remember playing baseball. Now, For me, of course, it was playing catch, usually in the front yard, although some of those games spilled out into the street itself. My father was a little league coach, and my brother was on his team. And I remember on one occasion, as we were throwing the ball around, I thought I had my mitt up high enough. I didn't. The ball came right over the top of the mitt and hit me right in the top lip, and it swelled like a balloon. Yeah, that wasn't a very happy experience. But it taught me to raise my glove so that didn't happen again. And I also remember having a little problem with my bicycle. Now, there was nothing wrong with the bike. In fact, I think I got it for Christmas. I was quite young. I don't think I was more than 7 years of age. And where we lived on the corner. And, of course, there was a bit of a decline. As you went to the top of the street and came down, you'd experience that decline if you were on a bike. And I will never forget this. I was coming down, and I got balance. Balance I had. That was good. But what I hadn't really learned or really allowed myself to accept and embrace was having to pedal backwards so you could stop. And that was the braking system on that particular bike. So as I'm coming down the street, my father's standing there on the driveway, and I'm shouting out to him to the top of my young lungs, "Dad, I can't stop. I don't know how to stop." And I was picking up some speed, to be honest with you. Well, as I got down there, my dad literally positioned himself in the street so that I would run right into him. True story. As he fell backwards and skinned up his arm something terrible, I came over the handlebars and landed on top of him. And I remember shedding a few tears at that young age and then thinking to myself, wait a minute, hold it. My dad took all the fall. I fell on him. Why am I shedding tears? Yeah, I had a lot to learn. And somehow my dad put up with that. It was amazing. I'll never forget it. But now I want to focus the balance of our time on a particular father and son story recorded in Scripture. This is in the book of Luke. I'd like you to travel with me to Luke chapter 15. Now, Luke chapter 15 is about losing and finding. In fact, as you start chapter 15, you're going to see the man who had 99 sheep, only because one of them was missing. So what this man did is he went out and he searched, and he searched, and he searched, until finally he found that sheep. And in such joy over finding his sheep, he picked the animal up, put it on top of his shoulders, and came back to show everyone that he had found his lost sheep. And it's interesting. Look at verse 7 of chapter 15 of Luke. "I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Next, we have a coin that gets lost in the household of a woman. And she panics. She turns that house upside down until finally she finds that coin. And when she does, she rejoices. She's filled with happiness. And notice with me what we have in 15:9 of Luke. "When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which was lost.'" Verse 10, "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then, ladies and gentlemen, we turn our attention on the Father and the Son that we're given. There's a son in the household of a man who decides it's time for him to get what's coming to him. So he goes to his father and he, unfortunately, demands that he get his part of the inheritance. And once his father gives it to him, he sets out. And he goes into a far country and he wastes every last dime. There's nothing left. And he finds himself slopping hogs. What a terrible job. But that's what he's doing. And he wishes that he could have what the pigs themselves were eating, because he's so hungry. And yet it's at this low state, when he's reached rock bottom, the Bible tells us he comes to himself. And what he desires at this point to do is to go back to his father. Oh, he realizes he can't be counted as his son anymore. He blew that opportunity when he demanded what was coming to him and he left home. But he decides he knows what he's going to do. If he could go back to his father's house, then he would be able to be one of his slaves, no longer worthy to be a son, but he could be a slave, and he knows how his father treats the slaves. So he wants to be like one of them, and he figures out exactly what he's going to say to his father, and he makes the journey back. But some very interesting things happen when he gets back. You know, he's rehearsed what he's going to say to his father, and here's what it is. This is in 15:21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father, verse 22, said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. It's truly an awesome way for us to picture God and his involvement with those of us who unfortunately have turned our back and gone into the world without really any thought or care about God, and yet to realize later in our lives just how important he is and how much we need him. You see, he didn't treat his son at all like the son anticipated. The son prepared himself when he was getting ready to come home, and then when he finally came home, he was absolutely sure the path that he was going to take would at least allow him to survive. And yet his father didn't see things the same way. Imagine how this father must have felt seeing that son coming at a distance, not knowing when he was coming, and honestly not knowing if he would come back home. But this father loves his son, and this father knew that this son had made many mistakes. He didn't accept him back as his son because of that, no. He accepted him back as his son because he loved him. If there's one thing I've learned in being a father for 37 years, that love runs deep, and that love is true, and that love will always allow us to respond to our kids and be parents to them. Doesn't matter where they move to. Doesn't matter how far away from our actual home they may be. The hope is, if that's the case, that they'll still count the home that they were raised in as their home. And they'll come and they'll reconnect and look back on their lives and all the wonderful things that have been made possible by Almighty God and give him the glory. And like I've said before, raise their children to know who God and Jesus are, how important they are in our lives on a daily basis. Let's learn from the story in the book of Luke as we celebrate Father's Day. Let's learn from this example because, you know what? This example is an example of God. This is how God treats those who have estranged themselves from him, who have walked away from him. This is God whose arms are wide open and who proved beyond any doubt whatsoever that he loves, because he offered his only begotten son to prove that point. And in offering his only begotten son, there could never be any doubt that God so loved, or to the degree he loved, the world. And that's recorded in John chapter 3, verse 16. So I want to encourage you, celebrate your dads. Give them a big hug. Let them know that you love them. Sit right to their face. And then, of course, in the life that you lead, show that you're doing the things that are pleasing like Jesus did. And follow him every day. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you, gentlemen.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.